We're going to be in Mark chapter 14 today. I want to encourage you to open up there in your Bible, and you'll also notice some notes in your bulletin, your family guide, and we would love to love for you to follow along, as praying today really is going to be a powerful time of a key that each of us need in our life. Now, I do have a confession to make as you go into Mark chapter 14, and that's this. I lost my car keys last Sunday, and I still have not found them. Okay, do I have any other car key losers out there? Okay, I mean, we're winners, but in that particular category, we're losers, okay? Thank the Lord my wife has a spare set, because I wouldn't have gotten here today. And, it's not that I'm not functioning, but I tell you what, when you don't have your keys, everything you're supposed to do in daily life is a lot harder. And today we're going to talk about one of those keys that most of us misplace in our life, and I'm telling you what, it makes everyday life harder. You may be getting used to it being that hard, but it does not have to be that way. There is an attitude of life in generosity, in a freedom to trust God that we give instead of constantly hold on to, that is a key to the abundant life that Jesus promised us. But you and I live in a world where those keys are lost to most of us. And we've gotten used to not having them, and God wants to give them back to us today. So we're going to look at this story in Mark chapter 14. This is a story of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, that Mary, that it's near Jesus going to give his life on the cross. And she's so thankful for all that Jesus has done in her life that she comes to a moment in which she literally takes all of her savings. You're going to read that literally she gives, I don't know what your yearly salary is, but she gives at least that in one moment of worship to the Lord. And it's a moment in which when she gives it, something happens that lasts forever in the Word of God. It lasts forever in heaven. What she gave becomes eternally important. Now, this story is so important that it is actually in three of the four Gospels. Definitely, it's a little debate in one. But you'll see in your notes there, John 14, John 12, Mark 14, John 12, and Matthew 26. And in John 12, we have the only place where it says the woman who is doing this is Mary, whose brother, Lazarus, Jesus raised from the dead. So that's how we know it's that Mary. I'm going to read in the ESV in Mark chapter 14. And let's let our hearts be open to a key that a lot of us have misplaced this morning. Starting at verse 3. And while Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at the table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly. And she broke the flask and poured it out over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, "Why was this ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii, basically a year's salary, and given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her?" Listen to these next words. "She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you will always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me," Jesus saying, "not always have me in this way at this time." And notice the next verse. "She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." Let's pray. Lord, please open our hearts to a key that we have forgotten in this life. Please change everything about how we see, what we feel, and what we value. Holy Spirit, come upon me and each of us here that we might understand the truth of the abundant and eternal life that you have called us to live, and that no one in this room would live a life of fear. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone said, amen. This story reminds us that Jesus has an eternally important purpose for every life. You and I are tempted to read this story of Mary and say, oh, that was cool that one person in a million has this moment to be that important. And all of heaven shouts, no, no, every one of you, every one of us has been given life because we just don't have an important purpose. We have an eternally important purpose. There is something that the God of the universe has given you breath to accomplish, and it is meant for eternity. Now, you may look at your life and say, yeah, I don't think me. I mean, maybe someone else, Pastor Sean. I mean, I say, no, this story is in the Word because this story is your story and mine. Mary, scholars will tell us that most likely, because we never hear about their parents, we hear about Mary and Martha and Lazarus, most scholars will say their parents probably died, and all are in agreement, she was probably not anybody in particularly important in her community, let alone on a larger scale. Mary wasn't this person that stood out. The world had not labeled her important. But heaven knew who she was. Jesus knew who she was. And there's a moment where what she does, the Bible tells us, you and I are reading it today, what she did was eternally important. What she did was going to be told in memory of her forever. It doesn't matter how you start. It matters how you finish. Doesn't matter what the world's labeled you. It's in the end what Jesus says of you that makes your mark for eternity. And you and I live in this world where we're mostly just trying to get through the day, and we have forgotten that there's something eternal about our lives. And really, I feel like my job this morning is to help you lift your eyes past all of the stress and all the worry and all the things you're dealing with and say, don't forget. The reason you have breath in your lungs is because you've got something to do. It's the word legacy, the eternal difference you are meant to make. The world uses it and talks about getting a star on the Walk of Fame, or maybe some gymnasiums mentioned after you, or, you know, some hospital wing or something. No, no, we're talking about what is going to last forever, that there's a spot that your name is in there, that it's what you do that counts. Legacy is what people remember about you when you are gone. And most importantly, and we're not just talking about in this lifetime, but one day in heaven, when someone walks by and says, aren't you? You were the one who gave. You don't realize what you did in that moment, but I'm part, my family, what you did for my, no, eternity's been changed through you saying yes to what Jesus wanted you to do in your life. Jesus used your life to make an eternal living. Now, all of us are leaving some kind of legacy. Someone's going to remember something about us. And again, I want you to hear it. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. It's how you finish life. And there is a legacy that God is growing you into. Legacy, and this is kind of the big idea of the whole day. Legacy, we leave a legacy by what we give, not what we get. That's the story here. It's what Mary gives that is what's remembered forever. And you and I live in this world where it's all about what I can get and what I can keep. And maybe if everybody sees how much I have, maybe somehow I'll be important. And you need to know that that is backwards from what's true. It's backwards from what's true. That's what's true is the legacy you're going to live is based on what you give, not what you keep. And I want you to think about people in your life who have meant the most to you, people that have changed your life for eternity. Why did they do it? How did they do it? What legacy did they live in life? Somehow is what they gave you. It's why you remember them. It's why they're eternally important in your life. We've got to get back to this. Now, last week we talked about this idea that Jesus invites us into eternal life. Unstoppable, overflowing, kindly going, always going. But you and I have this ability to change a life of overflowing fire hydrant. I just want to give. I want to pour out. I want to trust. I'm not going to hold back. I'm not going to shut down. I'm going to let the Lord do what he wants to do in my life. I'm going to believe for somebody else just as much as I'm believing for myself. The enemy has a way of turning our fire hydrants into vacuum cleaners. And all we do is we try to think about Jesus and we think about his promises to think about what can I get? I'm looking around. Give me. I need more. I need it to be in me. I need to keep it. I need it to be mine. And yet Jesus has saved our life so we can be like the fire hydrant says, everything in me needs to come out and go to somebody else. There's a way you and I have to choose to live. And it's not just about money, but it's about the difference between fear and peace. Because most of us don't give because of what we're afraid of. And so here is this idea that the whole Bible has always talked about. Psalm 112, good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will what? Be remembered forever. He shares freely and gives generously to those in need. His good deeds will what? Be remembered forever. He will have influence and honor. This is the life that you are called to. And just because the world labels your money and your job and your social status a certain way, don't let it steal from you that this is your life. That this is who you're called to be. And it's not just who you're called to be, but I would like to take a little sidestep in the message and say, let's not forget that's what a church is supposed to be. Like, this is not about how much this church can get. Churches should be about the legacy they live in the that they leave in the world forever. And Ephesians 3:10, God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the world and its unseen rulers and authorities. This was his eternal plan. God wants to, what we do today, how we give, how we live, how we choose to pray, it's about eternity. It's about us leaving a legacy in the world. And so during this series on Thanksgiving that goes through Thanksgiving and goes through Christmas, I want us as a church family to remember what giving is all about. And there's some ways that we're living it out today. Right after service today, we would love for you. We're really encourage you. Go right out here. Go down to the fellowship hall downstairs. And go check out our missions trips and our missions fair. You'll get a new bookmark for all of the missionaries in our church. You'll hear about how to pray for them. You'll get some great international food, so enjoy that. And then you'll also see a booth for every missions trip we're about to go on, which if you look in your bulletin, there's a missions fair guide in there. And whether it's the relief work that we are now prepared to do in Puerto Rico, and you want to sign up to be on that, or if you want to do medical, educational, prayer, or microfinance in Ethiopia, we're going to be doing that in July. The teenagers going to Honduras to be with an incredible ministry, orphan ministry there, and as well as our middle schoolers, there's something for families to go together as a family to serve in missions this summer. I mean, there are ways that you can be part of not thinking about leaving a legacy, but really doing it around the world. And we want you to be a part of that. Number two, I'm telling you about it now because it's coming up in December. December 10th is going to be our Advent offering, where we celebrate how Christ came to us. And we want to make sure, we want to give in such a way that Jesus is coming to someone new. And so we're going to be doing that, and I want to share it with you now because I don't want you to give emotionally out of guilt or surprise. I want you to be praying about it as a family. I want you to go to the exact opposite of this world that's worrying about if it has enough money to spend on itself. You think about how can I give to others for Christ to make an eternal difference. And when we take that offering, we do it to leave a legacy of Jesus in five different areas. The first is our community. We're going to give to our elementary schools, Bensley, Ecoff. We're going to give a substantial amount to our nonprofit on the Jeff Davis Corridor, the Cornerstone Revitalization Center, all the work we do there. We definitely, this is one the Lord's really putting on my heart right now, is our next generation of missionaries. Now, at Cornerstone, we probably support on a significant regular basis about 17 missionaries. 14 of those grew up at Cornerstone. 14 of them. So we sent them out because that's what the church should do. And my prayer is we've got a number of young adults starting their first year of missionary training. We want to make sure we're going to give them a gift to help them start another fresh wave of missionaries coming from Cornerstone. Can you get an amen for that? We want to be about that. We want our current missionaries, we want to bless them over the Christmas season as well. That includes members who want to go on missions trips. So we make sure we have some scholarships for some of you who want to go on that trip but need to trust the Lord to provide in a great way. In America today, 75% of all the missionary funds that churches raise go to reached people groups that have already heard the gospel and already have a church in it. So the most significant portion of our missions budget goes to the unreached. People have never heard the gospel the first time. And that's what we do through our Project Hope Clinic in Ethiopia, where we are in the last stable church environment before it's a sea of Islam. I'll be going in February. I'll be traveling 30 miles from there to the fourth most holy city of Islam, where there is no church, and pray that I return nice and safe and enjoy the rest of my trip in Ethiopia. It's a great place. I've already been there. And then finally, we also want to remember that this church is not just about all of us, but there's going to be future family in this church one day. So whether it's taking care of the building or paying down the mortgage or something like that, we want to make sure that the next generation that gets this place, we've left a legacy of freedom to not be concerned about anything, but just go share the gospel. Go be great. So we're going to do that on December 10th. You can start praying about now. You'll hear more about that coming up. And then finally, we want you to live a lifestyle. We want you to have some fun giving. And so you'll see in your bulletin on one of the pages ways to be generous, acts of kindness. And as you leave today, we are going to give you, and you should take several of these. These cards say something extra to show you God loves you. And it's got it on the back. It says a family where you can belong. Just let's Cornerstone. The whole idea is we want to make sure over the holiday season that we are being intentional about being way generous in everything we do. Because all the stats tell us that from now through New Year's, people who struggle with depression, with suicide, with discouragement, this is their hardest time. And so what we want to do is we want to lift our radar up to be seeing how we can bless people. So when you go to lunch after this, or you're going shopping and you're going to lunch, to a dinner, we want you to leave a big tip, a really big tip. We want people who don't know Jesus to see your tip and say, thank you, Jesus, all right? That's your job, all right? And we want you to leave a nice big tip and then leave them one of these cards, maybe a little note, but be on the lookout. And you don't have to do that. Last week, we had two of our neighbors who a cold was kind of running through our neighborhood, our school. My wife was happening to cook soup and made a little extra, and we gave soup to a few neighbors. Just say we're thinking about you. And literally, I didn't even know we had their cell phone number. They're texting us back with pictures of them eating their soup and thinking, thanks, this is awesome. We're like, who knew? Like, let's make this a season that you and I both take responsibility to speaking life to who knows who is struggling right around us, okay? So make sure you get some of these at the end of service. You could have an amazing holiday season doing this. So we're going to do it as a church, but we want to remember right here, right now, through this passage, why we give. I heard it once said that when we lose our why, we lose our way, all right? And when you don't remember why you're doing what you're doing, you tend to lose your way. It's true in marriage, you know? That person that you couldn't wait to get married to, and all of a sudden, years down the road, and everybody's kind of imperfect, and you've forgotten the why. And you need to remember it again. Remember what God called you to so you can find your way in that marriage. You want to do it as a parent? Hey, you remember when you prayed to get that job you got? You know that job you're in right now? Remember when you first got it and you were like, I hope I get this job. You may not be feeling the same exact way about that job. You need to remember why you got that job and start being about the way of the kingdom in that job. So we're going to do that about giving because we want to remember Mary is such a great example of what it is, why she's giving, and we need to see it. Here we go. And I always forget, I felt like there were some of us in the room today. I threw this in at the last minute because I felt like there were some of us who wanted to give up. Wanted to give up because we've been so, our present troubles, they're seeming like they're going to last forever. And this scripture says, they, for our present troubles, are small and won't last very long. Can someone say amen to that? Amen. All right? So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. You need to remember, you got an eternal purpose. You cannot see it in the midst of what you're going through. Get your eyes on it again. For the things we see now will soon be gone. Read it with me. But the things we cannot see will last forever. Come on, you're eternal. The eternal difference you're supposed to make. You can't see it right now. You're supposed to be about it. Don't forget. So why do we get to give? We don't have to give. Why do we get to give and leave a legacy? Because first of all, Jesus is given to us first. Scripture says, Mary's like, he raised my brother from the dead. I've sat at his feet. I've received. I mean, the scripture is all about, don't forget. Look, you live in a world that's about to bombard you with all the things you don't have. It's going to tell you that during the next few weeks, you need to get these things. It's going to purposely make you feel like you're not enough until you have these things. And it's going to finance all of it for you at a ridiculous interest rate, okay? Like, it's going to tell you you need it, and it'll help you. And you need to remember that life is not in those things. You need to remember all you've been given before you start focusing on all the things you wish you had, okay? So the scripture's about this. As a matter of fact, there are some psalms that are called historical psalms. They're called psalms of remembrance. And literally, in the Bible, all they do is say, remember when God did this. Remember when he parted the sea. Remember when he got us through the desert. Remember when he helped us face the giants. And I was reading one of these literally last year at this time. And it was one of those times where I was kind of in the middle of a lot of things. I was getting a little stressed out. And it was on a vacation day. It was like right near Thanksgiving. And I started reading Psalm 106. And some of it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. When our fathers were in Egypt, they gave what? No thought to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses. And because of this, they rebelled by the Red Sea. I want you to think about this. What the scripture is saying, that as they started thinking about all their troubles instead of all the ways that God was blessing them. And when they got into the pressure moment, they bailed. Because what you and I don't realize is if we're not practicing remembering and giving thought to the miracles that God has done, the enemy's setting us up. He's setting us up not for the moment you're in right now, for the moment that's coming. Because if you don't remember who God is and what he has done, that moment that you get up to the impossible moment, Satan's going to offer you a solution that you're going to regret for the rest of your life. You need to remember who he is. So I'm doing this and I'm reading it. And God begins to start speaking to me. And I'm, by the way, when we get to the year of the Bible, it's coming up in January, I'm going to invite all of you. One of your Christmas gifts should be a Bible that you can write in. Because you're about to devour it this next year. Like, it's about to be your diary of how great God is. And so I started writing in mine. I just thought, literally, this is what I put. I started reading this. I said, some things I remember. Here we are. This is what it looks like. I remember, God, that you brought me through poverty as a child and you gave me success in school. I remember when you provided a summer college job that provided enough money so I could pay for college. I remember when you led me to that church during college with Pastor Paul Wyslocki, where I grew in God and was called into youth ministry. I remember the moment you led me to some lady named Sarah Pfister and her wonderful family who have modeled many important life principles for me. I remember at my 12th grade graduation, I got to speak and share for you and how a person gave me a prophecy after that, telling me that I'd be a leader for you. I remember that you, when you gave me good friends at college, Tony, Jack, and Jason. I remember when you provided my first job out of school and I began to youth pastor at Seaford Assembly of God. I remember you answered prayer for me to have a job near Sarah during my engagement. I just started writing and writing. Guess what? I could not finish. I just kept going and going and going. Because you and I were trained in this world to remember all the things that are going wrong in our life. And God's the total opposite. He's like, why don't you remember what I've done? So here's my little pastor moment for you. I think you should take some time before Thanksgiving and write down some things you remember. Like, stop focusing on all the things you don't got. Start writing down some things you need to remember. Because I tell you, it'll change the way you look at everything once you get up from that page. Once you get up from that page, you're going to look at your neighbor and you're going to remember how good God was, and you're going to think, I wish I could give them something. It's going to change everything about you. So everybody, raise your right hand. I'm not going to make you promise. You should do it, though. You should do it. Hey, you should share some before you dig into that meal. You should share some. Say, let's remember what God's done. When we remember the miracles God has given us, we refocus on faith in the present and live to give his miracles to others. Man, I'm amazed. People somehow think that I don't realize that I have three daughters that I'm going to have to pay for their weddings. And like everybody needs to remind me of that, okay, one day. It's like, by the way, I know that, okay? You don't need to remind me of that. I get those times where, like, I think the HVAC needs to be changed, and I don't know how we're paying for that, and what happened to the car. Like, who doesn't have those moments? But is that going to define my life? Is that going to define how good God is in my life? No, I've got to be about something different. And when I refocus, you know what? I'm like, man, I wish someone else could have this. And I give, not because I have to, I give because it's just good. You know when you're driving by in the summer and that lemonade stand, right? That lemonade stand, and you stop. Why? Because you need lemonade? No, no. I mean, the kid's all excited, comes to the car, you're just one, and he's like, no, and you say, I'd like two. You know, you're not even planning to drink the one you're getting, but you're buying two. And the kid's going over, and his finger's in the cup as he's pouring the lemonade over his finger into the cup. And he's giving it to you, and you don't just give him 50 cents, you give him a $5 or a $1 or $2. Why? You have to do that? No, I'm telling you, you're wired to do it. There's joy in it. Like, you get to do it. You get to give. And I'm telling you, the legacy, everything one day you look around in life and think, I was glad I did that, it's going to be about giving for his glory. It's going to be. And so I want us to look, though, that it's not just, and Matthew 10:8. Freely you have received. Remember what you've been given, and then give. Freely you've received, freely give. Generous love is the proof that a person has received forgiveness and eternal life in Jesus. The more people are forgiven, the more they will love unconditionally and give to others. That's just the truth. That's what this whole story represents. Now Mary, she gets to give and leave a legacy, not just because Jesus has given first, but Jesus has given her the key to life. Remember when I can't find my keys, pray for me. I need to find them, all right? Like, Jesus has given them back to us. And he said in his word, Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's where the joy, that's the key to living. Don't hold it all up. Don't be a vacuum cleaner. Be a fire hydrant. Let it out. Let it flow. You'll find joy there. Jesus said, give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured out into your lap. Notice this next line. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Measured to you. John 12, Jesus, I took one of many scriptures where Jesus is saying, will you trust me? You know, are you going to trust me? And look, I want you to know that giving is about trusting. And I'm just talking about church. I'm just talking life. Giving is about trusting. There's a pastor, Chris Hodges, about 2 years ago, talked about, I'm going to share his thought about, he kind of calls it like the ladder of giving. It's kind of the idea of the ladder of trust. It's this idea of, I want to grow. I'm my measure of trust and my measure of giving to grow. And what I want to share it with you is this, and this is kind of a dad talk right now. It's kind of like the things you have to talk about as a family. What I want to encourage you is this is not one or the other. This is constantly growing to the next one. Is the plan for God's legacy in your life. Hopefully you'll see that by the end. All right, so if I ever want to learn, if I want to know the key to life, if I want to enjoy it, I've got to take the first step, right? And the first step is I've got to give my heart. That's the first thing I got to trust God with. When you ask Christ in your heart, you're trusting him with your life. You're trusting him with your future. You're trusting that one day in heaven, he's going to be what saves you and brings you there. And I just want to say this right off the bat. It doesn't matter what else you give if you haven't given this. You can't like give some other way to find peace with God. You can't find peace with life if you haven't done this one. And some of us in this room, we've not done this one. We're showing up to church. We may even be giving financially. But we haven't given our heart. And every give I'm going to mention on this ladder, Jesus mentions every one of them in the Gospel of Luke. Luke 10:27, love your God with all your heart with all your soul and with all your strength and all your mind. What is it? It's the first and most important commandment. It doesn't matter what you do if you don't do this one. So can I just, as I am standing awkwardly on the ladder right now, can I just make, have you taken this step? Man, make sure you've done it today, okay? There's nothing more important than giving right here. And nothing else is gonna come together until you take this step. Please do not use the fact that you're in church as the equivalent of you've given your heart, because the two are not the same. And you know it when you try to go to sleep at night, okay? All right, second, let's take a step up. Here we go. Aren't you curious when I get all the way up here? What's gonna happen? By the way, you all look great this angle. All right, emotional giving. Now, I'm not saying this as a negative, all right? There are times we are moved in our heart to give. And God, it's just a one-time thing. Our church gave $5,000 to the relief effort in Texas. Why? Because God just moved on our heart. Let's help. Then Puerto Rico happened, and we're like, let's give again. God was just moving on our heart. It's not a bad thing. What I would tell you, though, is it's not very far up the ladder. Because when you give just out of being moved, you tend to get moved the wrong way too. And you've got to develop a giving and a life and a peace in your life that is not about just emotions. And so if ever, when you're on this level, you're very susceptible to guilt giving, okay? And it's not that God doesn't use this, but I just want to encourage you, you need to go past this. We looked last week at the story of Zacchaeus in Luke 19, 1-9. What happened? Jesus came in his life and he just said, here and now, I want to give a ton. All right? And it was beautiful, and Jesus celebrated it. But it's only one level of giving. And I would tell you that there's not a ton of stability right here. It often is how you start because it's kind of your breakthrough moment, but it's meant to lead to the next step. Up we go. All right. By the way, I sprained my ankle last week, so this is really fun for me right now. All right. Tithing. Now, I don't know what you've heard about this. I left in your notes, it's printed out, a sermon that I gave last year about the idea of do we give to God first? Because when we give God first, we're giving him all. When we give God leftovers, it's showing that he is a leftover in our life. All right? And so the idea of tithing is that we give first to God. It certainly is true about our finances, which is the thing we talked about last week, is the pressure we feel the most in this world. So if the thing that's pressuring us the most is not the thing we're giving first to God, there's not a lot of peace in our lives. So I want to encourage you, listen to that sermon. Jesus in Luke 11:42 said, you tithe on all your garden herbs, but you forget about the heart of mercy and justice. And then he says this. He says, you should keep tithing. You should not neglect tithing while you remember justice and mercy. Kind of idea. Jesus says it right there. He's like, no, that's a pattern of a healthy life. So I want to encourage you, if you want stability in life, you know the beautiful thing? You know how, and you're going to have, it's going to happen all through this shopping season. Every time you go to swipe your card and it's like, will you give $2? Will you give $3? Will you give, now, hey, if God gives it, if you want to do that and say, hey, I just want to show people I love you, that's great. But don't do it out of, why? Because you already know you're giving. All right? And that goes away when you give to God first. So I want to encourage you, order your house that way. But that is just one rung in a ladder that should go way higher in your life. Way higher in your life. This part of the sermon is sponsored by our insurance company, who's hoping that. Okay, here we go. The next level is sacrificial. I would also use the word strategic. All right, in Luke, can I see it over here? 16. In Luke 16, Jesus talks to people about using their money to remember what eternity is going to be like. Like, do things with what you have now so you can celebrate even more in heaven. So, I want you to hear this line. When we start sacrificing, we don't just give them our first, but we start trusting God with things we're going to do without. I want you to hear this line. We choose to live simply so other people can simply live. Because don't forget that you are in a bubble if you are in America. All right? If you are just above the poverty line in America, you're in the what? The richest 5% of the world? Something like that? 10%? I mean, don't forget. But why don't you feel that way? Because the world's telling you all the other stuff you need, okay? But I want you to hear this. You and I have a chance to leave a legacy for eternity in millions and millions and millions of people's lives if we would make some simple choices to live a little bit more simply so that other people literally could simply live. We've got 74 people from our church that sponsor an orphan or a distressed child in Ethiopia, and they literally live because we're given $30 a month. And I want you to hear it. So we have to simplify. I don't get that coffee. I don't get this. I'm not going to have that. That's all we do. I went last time. My daughter, who's a high schooler, who's sponsoring a child, I saw the child after a year. I was like, I was like, I can't believe this is her. The mom, through the interpreter, literally said, "Well, she's eating now." And I was like, mind blown. Okay, like if I just live a little more simply, someone else can like simply live. I want you to hear this. This is our call. Now there is another step. I'm going to touch it and then return to the floor at this moment, okay? But it is the idea. Okay, that's it. Envision me up here, okay? It's life-giving. It's like, I just want to give my life. I want you to hear this, all right? And I love that Jesus talked about it with a woman who had almost nothing. Because this story in Luke 21 is the story of the woman who gives 2 pennies in the temple. And Jesus says, that lady right here, she gave more than everybody else. Everybody else gave out of their overflow and their extra. She just gave everything she had to live on. And I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this. This is not some super spiritual person who's like the one in a million. This is where God is lifting all of us to. This is where God's lifting all of us to. That there's a day that we finish up saying, it's all yours, God. It's all yours, God. I want to give it to you. You know, there's a lot of speculation what happens to Mary, because in this story in Mark 14 and John 12, we never hear from her again. We do know that the scripture says that the chief priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees are talking about murdering Lazarus because they don't want the testimony of what Jesus had done to get around. So it's fair to speculate, and it's only speculation, but it's fair to assume, and a lot of Bible scholars do assume this, that Mary was also murdered. That we don't know if she made it to the day of Pentecost. We certainly don't know once the day of Pentecost happens and after a while when the persecution, we don't know that she lives. So here's the interesting thought. She gave her life savings to Jesus with that alabaster jar. She may have never needed it. She may have known exactly that she was giving at the right time in the right place because her life wasn't going on much longer. I mean, that is very legitimately what happened to her. And here she was going to hold on to this. This was literally in that day and age, that was her life savings. And one day, the Holy Spirit came out. She saw all that God had done. She saw the joy. And she just broke it open and said, have it. And guess what? She probably didn't even need it anyway. Now, I don't want to get like overly intense on you. And I don't want to, like, maybe you think this is a morbid thought. I've thought, like, Lord, one day if I find out I have terminal cancer, I want to love all my friends and my family, and I want to get on a plane, I want to go to Dire Dawa, Ethiopia, I want to go into the one mosque that nobody ever goes into, I want to tell them about Jesus, because I might as well go out big, all right? Like, why not? Why not at that point? I mean, I'm going home, right? I'm going home, and by the way, you know, all my family, I'm going to have them forever, but those people over there that are my neighbors through the clinic, I don't know if I'm going to have them forever. I might as well finish up going big while I go home. And I just, have you thought of life that way? Like, it's about, like, you shouldn't finish with anything in your hand. Like, it's not the point. The point is finish giving it all to him. Make sure it's in his hand before you go, not yours. That's what Mary does. And here's the most beautiful thing about it. She gives because Jesus has given first. She gives because it's the key to life. I mean, she leaves a legacy we're talking about right now, thousands of years later. And here's what I love. She gives because it's not that Jesus just gave and is giving. It's because he's going to give some more. All right? I want you to think about this. Matthew 25 says the day that we come before the Lord, and we, and Paul will talk about it in the reward that we get in 1 Corinthians 3, there's a day you and I are going to come before the Lord, and we're just going to lay our life down. It's like, Lord, man, thank you. And I think all of us are going to be wanting to say, thank you, thank you, thank you. And the irony of that moment is the scripture says in that moment that Jesus is going to be like, no, thank you. And we're going to be like, what? Like, God, no, I wish I could have given you more. And God's going to go, no, well done. And I'd like to give you some more right now. Like, you're going to get more. The Father's going to put more in your hands. He's going to share more with you. You're going to be amazed that you got there. You're going to know the grace that it took to get it. You're going to remember how you started and the joy of what God gave you to finish with. And you're just going to be grateful, and God's going to give you more then. I mean, can you think about that just for a moment? He's going to give you more. Man, you better empty your hands because you're about to get a bunch more. Like, get your hands open. And I just want to encourage you. We live in this life. We live in this life that's all about your legacy is what you keep. Maybe if everybody sees that I have this and I have that and I own this and I've got... We live in a life that says that's legacy, and Jesus says absolutely not. It's the opposite. And the question isn't what God can do for you. He's given it. He's doing it. He's going to do it some more. The question is, have you done all you could? Like, is that, like, I think that's not a bad tombstone epitaph right there. You know, here, Sean, he did all he could. Jesus said, she's done something beautiful by doing what? All she could. I'm telling you, there's a life to live. There's a life for you and I. And do not get drowned by everyday living that you forget what the eternally is going to last forever. Man, build a life to give it all away. Build a life. You know, last week I talked about the idea of, and Pastor Brandon, you can come on up. Last week I talked about the idea of we always think, you know, I want a better life for my kids, and we think about money. Well, you know what? If God has grace to use me in my kids' life, one day, the better life is they're going to have a bigger legacy for heaven, not earth. Not earth. Not about earth. It's not about earth. There's a story of a pastor friend of mine who these college students decided as they finished college they wanted to go on the mission field. And the parents were like, whoa. Like, you know, and they had been responsible. So it wasn't an issue that had big outstanding down. They'd been pretty responsible. And the parents were like, no, you know, you got to build your career, maybe like in 5-6 years or something like that. And you just need to, like, you need to figure this, you need to get this all figured out. And these girls, the college students, went to this friend and said, what do I say? What do I say to my parents? Like, they want me to go get my master's right now. And he said this, you tell your parents this. They are right now living on a rock that's traveling something, 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 1,000 miles an hour in the middle of the universe. And one day, no matter what any of us do, we're going to meet the creator of the universe. I don't think the master's degree is going to count that much. Like, that's not the thing to depend on. Like, that's not going to give you peace eternally. Like, what's going to give you peace is how you give. Not because you're proving it to somebody, and you're not proving anything to him. You're just trusting him to say, God, my comfort, my security, who I am, I want to live. I want to live for you. And so we're going to sing the song, I Give Myself Away. That's the song we're going to sing. And I want you to listen to words really well. And as it's going on today, in the middle of your crazy, stressed out life, where you are almost too busy to come to church today, in the middle of that life, I want you to have a moment like Mary had that moment. She stopped in the middle of everything and said, God, Jesus, I want to give to you. I want to give you more than I've got. And as that song's being sung, if that's in your heart, whenever you want during this song, I'm inviting you to stand and say, God, this is my song to you today. This is my song to you. I want to live for the eternal purpose. I want to live for the legacy that only you have for me. So, Lord, I ask now that just like Mary knew the moment she was supposed to give, Lord, show us what it's like to be able to hear you say, he gave what he could. She gave what she could. Let the measure we give be measured back in the joy of what's most important. Speak to us now. As the Lord guides you to stand in declaration of this truth in your own life, be led as Pastor Brandon leads us.